And the demons don't like the real gospel. They don't mind you claiming to be a sinner saved by grace, because you're never going to be anything else if you claim that. And they don't mind you claiming that that Jesus Christ is not coming to be manifested in your flesh, because they know that you've got no power and you won't be any threat to them. They know that. So repent. Repent and believe what the Bible says. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pick up your Bible, start reading it like it was a new book. Throw out all your preconceived ideas. Throw out all your religion. Just start reading. You see, you don't need a man to teach you. You may have had a man to teach you. Maybe one that you respected to teach you. But we have an anointing from the Holy One. That's what 1 John says. We have no need that any man should teach us. Don't respect men. Respect God's Word. If you do that, you pick up your Bible like it's a brand new book, throw out your preconceived ideas, and start acting on what you see there, you're going to have a miraculous life. That's what happened to me over 30 years ago. I was shocked because I'd been raised a Catholic, didn't know anything about the Bible. Somebody challenged me to read the Bible, and I picked it up, and I was just awestruck. Here's, I've been a Catholic all my life. You know, I was a Catholic all my life up to that time. Supposedly, to know the Lord, but I didn't know it, and I sure didn't know anything about His book. And really, that was an advantage. I knew people who claimed to have studied the Bible and had learned some kind of a gospel all their life. And yet, they just couldn't accept what the book said. But me, I didn't have any background in the book, so when I started reading it, it was just awesome. And I started having miracles immediately, because I didn't have anybody to tell me, you can't do that anymore, that passed away with the apostles.
Isn't that a miracle today? They'll see something in black and white, and they go, no, that's not what...
It doesn't mean that. It's got to mean something else. But your natural man that wars, your natural mind and your natural man that wars against the Word of God. Deceiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's right. Yeah, Terry? In Ephesians chapter 1, we just mentioned it briefly when we turned away from it. Ephesians chapter 1, there is a doctrine out there that's a false doctrine that... when you come to the Lord, you get the Holy Spirit and you're sealed for life. Okay, that's a false doctrine. Because what I'm going to prove to you is not everybody has the Holy Spirit. Even if they are born again, they don't all have the Holy Spirit. And that's another false doctrine. You know, when I came into the kingdom, within 1 year, I went through three religions. And the reason I went through them was because I kept reading the Bible. If you're stuck in one of them, you probably have quit reading the Bible. Because they're halfway houses. You're supposed to outgrow them and climb over the bars. That's what the Lord told me. They're like playpens. And you're not supposed to get stuck in religion. It's a sect. It's a division. It's a strife. It's unscriptural. It's a work of the flesh, the Bible calls it. You see. My first doctrine about the Holy Spirit was I was raised in the Catholic Church. Well, in the Catholic Church, you... At 12 years old, you get confirmed. That's when you get the Holy Spirit. Everybody in the Catholic Church gets the Holy Spirit when they're 12 years old. Does that sound reasonable? No, it don't work that way. And I didn't get it that way either. I can tell you that right now. I got a few ashes on my head, but I didn't get nothing else. But so when I found out about salvation by faith, I went to the Baptist Church. Well, they told me if you became a believer, you received the Holy Ghost automatically. And then I found out that wasn't true either. And then I went to a Pentecostal church, and you know what they told me? They told me if you didn't receive the Holy Ghost with the experience of speaking in tongues, you're just lost. You never got saved in the first place. I said, and then I found out that wasn't true either. Keep reading the Bible, folks. You're going to hear a lot of baloney out there. You know, there's a lot of baloney. None of that's true. None of that is true. Okay, I had to go look in the Bible for myself to find out what the truth was. And when you find the truth, it all fits. It all just fits. Now, we've been told that this sealing of the Holy Spirit is a once saved, always saved experience. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit and you're sealed for life. Okay. Well, by experience, you know a lot of people that would prove that wrong. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's a very unusual chapter. I'll tell you why. because Paul in this chapter addresses the elect, the chosen. He doesn't address the called like he does in other places and in other books. This is unusual because, as you know, Jesus said many are called but few are chosen. And the word chosen is the word elect, eklektos, means chosen. This particular book is addressed to the chosen. You know what chosen is? Called is you're having become a Christian, you are now invited to partake of everything that Christ provided, including His kingdom. That doesn't mean you will accept that invitation, because He gave parables about the called and the invited who didn't come. And so He turned to other people. And He will do that with you too. If you don't accept His invitation and take Him seriously and accept these gifts that God has given to you, He'll give them to somebody that will appreciate them. Okay? So don't take God lightly, because what He's offering to you now, if you keep ignoring Him, He may not continue to offer it to you. He may turn and offer it to someone else. God grants repentance, and He can take it back. It's a gift, and He can take it back. Many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible says He saved us and called us. Hey, let me give you a revelation here. You can look to your blue in the face. Get your concordance out. In the New Testament, when He talks about the called, it's never talking about the lost world. They are not called. You have to be saved before you can be called. He saved us and called us. The word called is the word kaleo. It means invitation. You have an invitation. God said, I called my son out of Egypt. Who did He call out of Egypt? Israel. Did He call Egyptians out? Nope. I called my son out of Egypt. Now, He said, the more I called them, He said, I sent the prophets to them, the more they called them, the more they went from them. So, calling does not necessarily mean you're going to accept the invitation. You can get called and decide, like the parable Jesus gave. Well, I married a wife. Well, I bought a field. Well, I got a yoke of oxen. I need to go prove them. The Lord said, forget them. You go find somebody else and bring them in. Did you hear what I said? The Lord, that's what the Lord gave in His parable. He was talking about the called. And at the end of that parable, He said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Wouldn't you rather be among the chosen? You know, the whole field is the call. All of Christianity is the call. True Christianity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about true Christianity. Is the call. But the chosen are the people that bear fruit and enter the kingdom. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. You see? It's not just the called. It's the chosen. Now, when Paul addresses the chosen in Ephesians chapter 1, for instance, in verse 4, says, even as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us unto the adoption as sons. Notice, foreordained, predestined. When God predestines you, you will be there. Not everybody is predestined. Now, all Christians are called, they're invited, and they're given opportunity, they're given the blessings, and they're given the Holy Spirit, they're given all these things. But many ignore all that, and they would rather run to the world and enjoy the world and sell their birthright like Esau. How could he sell his birthright? He was the firstborn, it was his. But he sold it. And he lost it. And it was given to Jacob. And the same will happen to us. I don't care what they say about unconditional eternal security. It's a bold, outright lie that's going to send many to hell. Okay, we are convinced of our salvation, and there's no double-mindedness there. But you need to read the Bible to find out that there is no such thing as unconditional eternal security, or Jesus wouldn't have put so many ifs in there. Okay, in this text, He's talking about the foreordained to adoption as sons. You know what? These people that He's talking about here, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they don't turn back into the world. They don't fall away. They don't lose their salvation. These are the people that don't take what God has given them for granted. They go on to bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. They seek God. They desire after Him. They put their faith in Him. And He does not disappoint them. And many are called, but few are chosen. Let me say that there is a multitude of people out there that have come to religion, got disgusted, gone back into the world, and decided they just wash their hands of all this, you see. There's lots of people like that. There are people that are sitting on church pews that are doubly more a Pharisee than any you've seen. and they think they're going to heaven, but they're Pharisees. So it doesn't matter that they're staying in church, they're still Pharisees. The truth is, we're here to bear the fruit of Jesus, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, when he talks about the sealing of the Holy Spirit here, he's talking about the sealing of the people who are the elect. You know why? These people are going to bear fruit. They are going to be in the kingdom. They are going to be there because from the very foundation of the world, God chose them in Christ to be there at the end, and they will be at the end. Everybody who is called has that opportunity. Everybody that's called. You say, well, everybody in the world does. Then, no, that's not true. If you're not drawn by the Father, you will not come. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. They shall come unto me. See, you go out there and you preach the gospel. Those people that are drawn, you know it immediately, don't you? They're hungry. They want to hear what you got to say. They're interested. The rest of them ignore you and turn away from you and speak against you. It may not be their time yet. They may have a time down the road, okay? But at least then they're not drawn. Salvation's by grace. That means unmerited favor. That means God gives you a gift to come to Him. You didn't choose me, Jesus said. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. See, we didn't choose Him. We think we chose Him because He put it in our mind to come to Him. He gave us a gift to come to Him. That's what election is all about. Forget about free will. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is, you're bound in sin and chastened in iniquity, and you don't choose goodness without a gift from God. You do not choose goodness. Evil does not choose good. That's exactly what you were before you came to Christ, and what I was before I came to Christ. It has to be by grace, which is unmerited favor. Okay. So now he's talking about these chosen. Well, sure, when they get sealed with the Holy Spirit, they're definitely in the kingdom, and they're going to stay there, and they're not going to turn away from God. I'm not saying they won't have temporary failures and setbacks, but they're going to get back up, and they're going to go again, you know? And it says, for instance, in verse 13, in whom, by the way, all the way down through here it says, in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, in whom, in Him, it keeps talking about somebody that's in Him. Who is in Him? Well, He chose us, verse 4, to be in Him from the foundation of the world. In other words, God saw you while you were yet a sinner and before. And He chose you to be in Christ. So now He's talking about still being in Him. Verse 13, in whom you also having heard the word of the truth. Did you know that if you were chosen, you were already in Him when you heard the truth? You were already in Him, in the mind of God, because He saw you from the very foundation of the world. He chose you to be in Christ. See, you can't be self-righteous about the people around you. Some people look down on people around them. Well, I chose Christ. Why don't you do it? You know, and they're condemning of the people. You don't have a leg to stand on. You are there because of a gift from God. If someone else is not there, it's because they didn't get the gift. Read Romans chapter 9. See, in the Old Testament, there were Israelites and there were non-Israelites. And let me tell you, the non-Israelites didn't have a prayer because God chose Israel. He said so. And if it was wrong then, it's wrong now because He still chooses Israel. You know? And we are grafted into the olive tree called all Israel by our faith. You see, He still only chooses Israel. Israel. Okay. So, in whom having also believed, in whom having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, or of promise, which is the earnest or the pledge of our inheritance. So you see, there are a lot of people that come to God, and some of them even receive the Holy Spirit, but they don't stick with God. It's not a sealing. It's not a finality. This word, if you look it up, it means a security. It means a finish. See? There are people who are sealed. When they get the Holy Spirit, they never turn back. Kind of like those apostles in the Bible. Those disciples in the Bible. They don't ever turn back. They run after God. Yeah, Keith?
Okay, so when you're saying once they're sealed, there's no way they can lose it.
No, I didn't say they couldn't. I said they wouldn't. <That's it. laughs>
But they can lose it. Even these can lose it.
Yeah. Anybody can, but these are the people that won't. You know, the Bible, Jesus was tempted with sin, but he didn't. Right? People ask all these hypothetical questions, you know, but could he have? Well, I don't have to worry about that.
I know predestined and all that always kind of confused me a little bit. Foreknew and all those other things. That can go real deep in some
way. Oh, yeah. Fatalism is a wrong doctrine. What will be, will be. Listen, God wants to use your will to cause you to desire after him. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, to cause you to want run after him and to bear fruit and to live in the kingdom. He uses your will. He uses the will of the wicked too. So don't think what will be, because if you don't will after righteousness, you won't be. That's just very simple. God, the people that love righteousness and truth will be filled, and the rest will not. The fatalistic idea of, since I'm a child, some people actually use fatalism to say that they are a child of God, therefore nothing can happen to them because they were chosen. You can't prove that you're chosen except by overcoming. That's the only way you're going to prove that you're chosen. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Listen, you may know that you're called, because when you get saved, you get called. You get invited to partake of the marriage feast. You get invited to partake of all that Christ provided. Okay, you may know that you're called, but you can't prove that you're chosen unless you overcome. They are called, chosen, and faithful. That's who's following Christ at the end. The called, chosen, and faithful. So, he tells you to make your calling and election sure. Why does he tell us that? Because if you don't run after the Lord, you will not be chosen. He's only choosing fruit. It's like you walked out into a cornfield. Do you go out into a cornfield to pick the stalk? How about the tares? No, you're going out there to pick corn, right? Well, when the Lord comes, he don't want the stalk. He wants the corn. He's coming to pick fruit. And the fruit is Jesus Christ. 30, 60, and 100-fold. He's not interested in the stalk. It's going to be plowed back under right here. That's your old physical carnal life. Okay? You just plow the stalk under and you start over, don't you? Okay? So, when you're talking about the chosen, you're talking about the people who loved God, followed after God, bore fruit. See? Because it's not the old man that God wants. It's the new man. And we're walking in Christ by faith so that he manifests that new man in us. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. You know what? Those words will go into you and recreate himself in you if you will respect them, if you will meditate upon them, if you will love them, if you will repent when you read them. Those words will recreate Christ in you. That's the whole purpose of the Word. It doesn't come back void, the Bible says. It'll accomplish that which it's been sent to do. Okay? So I'm not talking about fatalism when I talk about predestination. Okay? That's a perversion of Calvinism. But I can tell you people have totally perverted Calvinism. You read Calvin's books. Calvin believed that God used your free will. He didn't believe in the exclusion of free will, like some people say. That's called hyper-Calvinism. Okay? The truth is, he taught right straight out of the Bible. And he was a reformer to the Catholic Church who didn't. So if you get to read his Institutes of the Christian Religion, you'll probably read a good book. Or Luther's Bondage of the Will, same thing. He taught the exact same thing Calvin did. Or Augustine's book, I forget the name of his book, he taught the same thing. It's funny that all reformers taught this. Okay? But people want to fall on one side or the other. They want to fall on hyper-Calvinism or total free will. You don't have a free will when you're bound in sin. You don't have a free will. If you have a free will, stop sinning right now. You say, well, I've been trying, David. Well, if you have a free will, you don't have to try. You just do it. You see? You don't have a free will. You have to have God to give you His will. When He gives you His will, you are free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, what about the rest of them? They're bound in sin. They're prisoners of their own carnal nature. Free will. What's a free will? There's no such thing as a free will outside of God. He's the only one that has a free will. Do you know why? Because He gets to do everything He wants to do. And nobody can stop Him. Now that's a free will, right? Can you do that? If you got a free will, can you do that? No. No. I said this years ago and caused a lot of people to laugh, and I've hung on to it ever since. If you got a free will, you stick a feather in both ears and let's see if you can get off the ground. See, you're very limited because of your capacity, because of your nature. You're very limited. And you go tell the lost person that he can come to Christ and see how many of them do it. You'll find that some of them do and some of them don't. Why is that? Because they're drawn. They're given a gift to come. Their nature is not enough to bring them into the kingdom. It has to be a gift from God. So free will means different things to different people. But the only person that's really got a free will is God. Now, if you get His nature in you, and you desire the same things He desires, then you got a free will. You know why? Because you get everything you want. You hear what I'm saying? The reason you don't have a free will in many cases is because your flesh is tearing you one way, your spirit is tearing you the other way, and you're not able to do both or either one completely successfully. Okay? But when your mind is renewed and God's mind is in you and you have that desire to do His will, then you're free. And that's where we're headed, folks. We're down this road of giving up the old man, taking on the new man. That new man is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when Jesus is manifested in you, guess what? You get to do everything you want to do, because everything you want to do is what God wants to do. And nobody can stop God from doing what He wants to do.
When did Jesus have said, I only do the things that I've seen in my Father?
That's a free will.
That's a free will.
Now, nobody else has one. So forget about what the world and the world of church has told you about the free will. Now, why did I get on that?
I don't know, but there was someone I know out there that needed to hear it, and they weren't.
Oh, okay. Well, here's...
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
While we're on predestined, I know here lately I've been in Romans 8, and it talks about, you know, the earth travails, you know, for the revealing the manifestations of the sons of God. And you read further down, and it says, which we have the first fruits of the spirits, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit. And then further down, it says, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be first among many brethren. And then it goes one more verse, which it says, moreover, whom He predestinated, them He also called, which it said earlier, and whom He called, He justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. When you go back further into the 8th, he talks more specific about the glorification within ourselves. So I'm kind of caught in this predestined and foreknown. And
well, the people he's talking about here is not the called but not chosen. This is the called that are chosen. Think about this. Everybody that's saved is called, but not everybody that's saved will be chosen. Okay? So all the called are chosen, but all the chosen are called. I got it right now. Okay. But not all the called are chosen. You got that? Who is he talking about in 29, 30, and 31 there in Romans 8? He's talking about the called who are chosen. Because every one of them, notice, every one of them is manifest Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? He said, for whom he foreknew, he foreordained. That's predestined. That means destined before. Those he foreknew. Foreknew doesn't mean he looked down the road and saw you were going to be a good boy, so he chose you. That's not grace.
What verse is that? I'm sorry, what verse is that? It's Romans 8,
29. No, foreknew means he knew you before. That's what foreknew means. It does not mean he looked down the road and saw you were going to be good and chose you. That's silly. That makes you ruling God instead of the other way around. But it's a gift from God, you see. He knew you from the foundation of the world. It's like, do you know when you make something, when you want to make something, you get a picture of it in your mind before you make it, every time. Otherwise, you don't know where you're going, right? You get a plan. And you see that in your mind, this picture in your mind. Well, he tells us, behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we'll be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We're getting an image, and we're accepting that image from the beginning. See, God's just teaching us to be like him. God knows what he's making before he starts. And he's making sons of God. Okay? And so, in the very beginning, he saw these sons of God. And we are being created in that image that he saw. And what is it? Jesus Christ. He chose us in him from the foundation of the world. Okay? So 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he foreordained, or predestined, same word, to be conformed to the image of his son. Notice, if you start in verse 29, you're going to end up at the end of verse 30. Watch very carefully now. He's only talking about the chosen. He's not talking about the merely called. Okay? For whom he foreknew, he foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. These are the people who bear the fruit and become glorified. He's not talking about those that fall away and are erased out of the book before the end. Did you know that? You can be written into the book and erased out before the end, but the people who are still there at the end, the ones who endure to the end, shall be saved, Jesus said. These are the people that endure to the end and bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. No, we need to be steadfast in the work of God. We need to fight the good fight. We need to put on the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation. This is a warfare that we're in. The devil wants us to give up. He wants us to sell our birthright. Well, how did Esau sell his birthright? He sold his birthright because he walked after the flesh. Read it in Hebrews. It's exactly what it says. And that's the type that God wants us to see there in Hebrews, is that he walked after the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you don't want God. You don't want to lose your old life. It says in verse 16, lest any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat, that's flesh, sold his own birthright. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. It says the same chapter we're just reading, Romans 8. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So who's he talking about here in 29 and 30? It's those who walk after the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now don't tell me you think that all Christians are led by the Spirit. You don't believe that, do you? I mean, you got eyes to see. You can look around you, right? Some people are running after the Lord. They may be ignorant, and even in some bondages, and even in some religions, but if they're running after the Lord, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. See, that gives you a good reason not to turn around and judge the poor little brother behind you in some foolish bondage or some ignorance or some dead religion or whatever, you know. Walk by faith for them if they're loving the Lord, running after the Lord. Walk by faith for them because they'll get up and out of that. God will see to it. God will see to it. If any man loves the Lord, he knows that he's going to give them grace. You know? Well, anyway, back in Ephesians, where we were, he sealed these people with the Holy Spirit, a promise. And in the book of Revelation, it tells us about the sealing of the 12 tribes, you know, not to let the earth be heard until the servants of the Lord have been sealed in Revelation chapter 7. Verse 3. Okay? And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this sealing. Verse 21, it says, "Now he that establisheth us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Okay, now let me point something out to you. When Jesus came along in his day, the Jews were the people of God. And he offered to them the Holy Spirit. And they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They spoke against the Holy Spirit. He even said that the works that he was doing by the Holy Spirit were works of the devil. Interesting. You ever hear that today? Well, get away from anybody that says such a thing. Because these are blasphemers. And when they attribute the works of God to the devil, like tongues is of the devil, have you ever been in a church where they said such a thing? Get away from people like that. Because they're cursed. And if they don't repent, they'll lose their soul. Because what the Bible tells you about tongues is a good gift, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So get away from people like that. They don't believe in prophecy. They don't believe in the healing, and they don't believe in the supernatural. The Bible says that they have a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. Obey the Bible. Turn away from them. Get away from them, because that's not a church. They are not believers. You say, "But David, I was there." Yeah, I was there too. But when I read I was supposed to turn away, I turned away. And the same is true for you. Are you going to obey the Bible, or are you going to respect man? Some people stay there till they die. I mean, spiritually die. They call it twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, how can you be twice dead if you're not twice born? You've got to be born again to die again to be twice dead. See? There are people that sit right there and listen to that hogwash all their life. It took me about a month and a half in the Baptist church before I decided, I've been reading this Bible and I don't think they believe all this. I'm going to go find some place that believes it. You know, here's the thing. You're following the Lord. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't get stuck in men's religions. Follow God. Study the Bible. Follow it. Look for a people that look like what you see there. When you read the book of Acts, look for a church that looks like that.
Good luck.
If you're talking about religion, that's true. It's good luck, because you won't lose. If you're talking about religion, that's true. Look, there is no denomination doing that. But you don't have to be a denomination. In Jesus' day, what denomination followed him? Not one. Well, guess what? The Lord told me we're living in the same day. The man-child is about to be born. You know what that means? We're living in the same day as Jesus. Jesus was the man, first man-child in the New Testament. But in these days, the same thing is about to happen. So, there was no denomination that followed Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus out of denominations. That's what ecclesia means. The called out ones. You are called out of religion. You are called out of Babylonish apostate religion to follow Jesus. You are called out. If they were called the church in that day, who are you talking about? Well, those apostles, every last one of them was a part of an apostate Judaistic denomination. And they came out to follow a lamb. And now we got to do the same thing. Outgrow apostate religions and follow Jesus. Religions don't follow Jesus. People do. Remember that. Religions don't follow Jesus. People do. Okay. You are held responsible to follow Him. Don't wait for anybody to follow you. Don't wait for anybody to lead you either. Just go, you know. And if it is to the extent they follow the Lord, you know, like Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. See, when you find out people aren't following the Lord, there's only one way you're going to know this now. You're going to have to respect the Bible above everything else that people say. You have to put the Bible first, because it is the Word of God. It's the only thing we have that we know is from God. So put the Bible first and read it, and don't trust in men. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I'm getting aside of the point here. The point is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the elect will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody have the Holy Spirit? No. That is a lie. It was a lie that was fed to me in the Catholic Church, a lie that was fed to me in the Baptist Church, and a lie that was fed to me in the Pentecostal Church. They all had false doctrines about receiving the Holy Spirit. There's an abundance of proof for this. For instance, turn to the book of Acts in chapter 8. The Holy Spirit is given to believers, not given to the world. You have to be a believer. You have to be born again before you can receive the Holy Spirit. The people that say you automatically get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, that is a false doctrine. And it's very easy to prove. Very easy. In Acts chapter 8, is everybody listening? In Acts chapter 8, in verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, if you get baptized, you're a believer, right? You believe. You repent. You know, Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's see, where along that line did a person become a believer? Well, believers, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You believe before you get baptized. So what about repentance? Well, repentance and believing is the same thing. You know why? Because repentance means change your mind. Don't believe what you used to believe. Believe what I tell you. That's what God is saying. Believe what I tell you in this book. Okay, that's repentance. So, repentance and belief, they're the same thing. So, when you repent and you get baptized, you are already a believer, aren't you? Okay. So, but that's not the end of the story. Look here. Verse 13. And Simon himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip. And beholding signs and great wonders and miracles wrought, he was amazed. When the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them. Oh, they were believers, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's clear. Why would they have to lay hands on them anyway? Come down and pray for them anyway. Do you have to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit? It's not an automatic thing, is it? You know when I got saved? I got saved in my home, reading the Bible. I didn't know anything about going to an altar because I hadn't been in any religion. I was raised a Catholic. I was reading my Bible, and it came over me that this was truth. I was a believer right there. But you know what? Hadn't even been baptized. Didn't know anything about baptism. And I hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit either. So, it's very clear that sometime after they believed and got baptized and were amazed at the signs and wonders, the apostles came down and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, it had fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. They were in Christ. They were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. So how can you say it's automatic? You know the people that say that? They don't read their Bible. That's just their religion. You know what? They're trying to cover up for the fact that they don't have the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it's automatic. The only people that would believe that is people that didn't receive it. Because when you receive it, you know it. And these people don't receive it. You know why? Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say witness. He said, you be my witness. You know what that means? That means you're going to be looking like Jesus. They're going to look at you and see Jesus. You're going to be a witness. Right? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you know when you get the Holy Spirit. Because you receive power. And if you go into a church and they don't have power, and they tell you that you automatically get the Holy Spirit, you get away from them because that's not a church. You understand? I'm not saying that you can't learn some things there and receive some things there, but you're not supposed to stay there. The Bible commands you to leave. So leave. Go someplace where they believe in the whole Bible. Where they believe in the gifts of the Spirit and they believe in receiving the Holy Spirit. And he tells you here that they believed, they were baptized, and they still didn't have the Holy Spirit. So how can they say it's automatic? Because they're not particularly impressed with the Bible. That's the reason they could say that. In Acts chapter 9, because this is the only witness we have in the Bible. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul got knocked to the ground with a bright light. Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. You think he wasn't a believer? So he was blind. He was led into the city. He fasted and prayed for 3 days. You think he wasn't a believer? And God said to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go tell Paul. I want you to pray for him that he receives his sight and to receive the Holy Spirit. But Lord, that's Paul. He's the one that's been killing us. Lord said, you just go do what I tell you to do. Okay? Let's see. Verse 17. And Ananias departed and entered into the house and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Look at that. Brother Saul. Tell me Saul wasn't saved? He was saved. He was saved when he was knocked down and said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, who hath appeared unto thee in the way which thou camest, hath sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't sound to me like he got it automatically, right? Where's this automatic stuff? Aren't they reading the same Bible that we are? See, that's a lie. So where's the ceiling? Well, we just read the ceiling is receiving the Holy Spirit. You know what? In the days of the Bible, it wasn't a strange thing for people to receive the Holy Spirit. It was automatic. People got saved. They got baptized. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't anybody around to tell them that this was wrong. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit is wrong. Except the Judaizers, of course, but they weren't coming out of Judaism, you know. Nowadays, the overwhelming majority of what we call the church are telling you it's wrong to speak in tongues and prophesy and have the gifts of the Spirit. They say it's wrong. They speak against God. And you ask them, well, what do you mean? Well, I passed away with the apostles. And you ask them, well, show me that verse. And they can't. Because they're more impressed with their religion than they are the Bible. Well, they wouldn't have any ideas. They wouldn't make up their mind with any ideas like that. If they weren't impressed with men, they wouldn't make up their idea to reasoning like that without having some verse. And they don't have a verse.
I think Ted Trail is using that.
I know he does.
Yeah.
But he's not particularly impressed with the Bible either. So let me show you some more verses. I mentioned one, Acts 2 and 38. Look at this. This is important because if you haven't been filled, you need to be filled and you need to preach the real gospel. And here it is right here. 2 and 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like I was saying, they had to repent before they got baptized, and they still hadn't received the Holy Spirit. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, it passed away with the apostles, David. Well, why did he say verse 39 then? For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Well, that don't sound like it ever passed away, right? That experience that they received. What did they receive? Acts 2 and 4? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he says, now the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's us. See, God never stopped this. Why do they say it passed away with the apostles? This power from God. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you're going to be going. Now, who gets the Holy Spirit? Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. It's God's servants and God's handmaidens that get the Holy Spirit. It's not the world. See, if it was automatic, you'd get it when you got saved, which would mean God's giving the Holy Spirit to the world. But actually, God said he wouldn't do that. Did you ever notice that? I believe that's John chapter 14? Yes, John 14, and 16 and 17. A lost person cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Only a saved person can. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. Now, who's he offering this to? The believers. Okay? Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see? Lost people can't receive the Holy Spirit. For it beholdeth them not, neither knoweth them. But you know him, for he abideth with you, and he shall be in you. You got that? He's with you, and he shall be in you. You mean these apostles had the Holy Spirit with them? But he wasn't in them? That's right. And you know what? They were saved. How do I know that? Look at John 15. Verse 3.
Can it happen all at the same time?
Very close. Yes. We have one case in the Bible where it happened almost at the same time. Acts chapter 10. John 15 and verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, that a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except you abide in me. How do they get clean? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God had cleaned them up. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they were born again in Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and 28. They were born again. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit. See, born again is not the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be born again. You have to be born again. And then you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit. See? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come into the world. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 28 says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration. You know what that means? Born again. That's what the word actually is. Regeneration. Rebirth. Rebirth. When the Son of Man shall come on the throne of his kingdom. They followed him in the regeneration. They were born again, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus admitted as much in John chapter 7 that they didn't have the Holy Spirit. In verse 38-39, you know, you need to be able to show this to people, because a majority of Christianity believes they automatically get the Holy Spirit. You know what that does to you? It makes you not receive it when people come to you and offer you the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've already got the Holy Spirit. Oh, really? Nobody in the book of Acts received the Holy Spirit without gifts that followed. John 7 and 38, 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Notice they believed, but they were to receive. Well, the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Why? Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. Jesus had to go away to send the Holy Spirit to manifest Jesus in every one of us. You realize that? That's why Jesus went away. He went away and he sent them another comforter. That means Jesus was a comforter too. It means they didn't need the Holy Spirit as long as he walked with them, because they were following the Lamb. They didn't need the Holy Spirit. They didn't need the Holy Spirit until he left. And when he left, 40 days later, actually when he left, he breathed on them, he said, receive you the Holy Spirit, and 40 days later the Holy Spirit came. Excuse me, I'm sorry. At the end of 10 days after Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. He breathed on them, 10 days later the Holy Spirit fell on them. And the reason was because he was leaving. They needed another comforter, another paraclete. See?
So at that moment they received the Holy Spirit, when he breathed on them, they received it.
Actually, I believe they received it 10 days later.
Okay, it's 10 days later. They actually received it.
Yeah.
Right, when
he breathed on them by faith. And, you know, the word breath and the word spirit is the same word.
Okay. Because I know I was stuck on that too. When Jesus breathed on them, did they actually receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit then, or was it the day of Pentecost,
yeah,
on the rooftop they received?
10 days later, it came like a rushing mighty wind. Filled
the
house.
Breathe on them right then?
Because he was the one that had the authority to impart it.
So they didn't receive it then.
No.
They just breathed.
It manifested like it. They received it by faith, but it manifested. You see, the thing was, Jesus, the Bible talks about Jesus coming again in Hosea 6 and 2 as the latter rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came as the former rain.
Right.
Jesus was the one who had the former rain for 3.5 years before the disciples did. At the end of that 3.5 years, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later, they received the Holy Spirit, which we call the former rain. Well, Jesus had it before they did. The man-child will have it before the disciples have it in our day. The first one to receive the latter rain will be the man-child. He'll have it for 3.5 years. He will then impart it to the disciples, the two witnesses. He will impart it to the two witnesses who will go out and shake the world. Literally, shake the world. So, back to what we were talking about being saved and then filled. Yeah, Terry?
Yeah, Watchman, it must have been something you're talking about. Ask, what about those who pray in tongues but are religious and judgmental? What is happening there?
Well, having the Holy Spirit doesn't make you holy. Following the Holy Spirit makes you holy. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Having the Holy Spirit doesn't put you in the kingdom, as a matter of fact. You have to follow the Holy Spirit and submit to the Holy Spirit.
My first experience with this thing was this woman who went to a Pentecostal church, and she had a son that wasn't doing real well, and he and I ran around together. And but I knew she spoke in tongues because I had heard her before when she was praying or whatever. But when she got mad with her son, she could rail out some hateful.
Here's the thing, folks. The Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, and he leads your spiritual man. But you still have flesh, and you can obey the flesh. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But if you walk after the flesh, you must die. The same people who could follow the Spirit could follow the flesh. We are that way. We can follow the flesh. If you just decide to follow the flesh, you sell your birthright. So let's look at this more carefully here. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." if you really respect the Word of God, you know what happens when you respect someone's words? They go into you, and they recreate themselves in you. You know, their spirit is imparted to you. Do you know how you become a Baptist? You go to a Baptist church, you respect what they say to you, and you receive it into your spirit. And that's how you become a Baptist. Now, do you know how to become a Christian? Because you can have a religion and not be a Christian. You become a Christian by receiving Christ's words, respecting His words above all that men say. You respect those words. And because you respect them, they go into you and they become a part of you. See, people pass on what they are. Whether they like it or not, they pass on what they are. But that doesn't mean good. Because you're always passing on what you are to other people. Anybody that respects you, you pass on your spirit to them. The Bible warns us about receiving another spirit. Now, if you want Jesus' spirit, you really respect His words, they go in and they recreate His spirit in you. Okay? Now, I got a revelation for you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's right. Jesus had more than one spirit. You see, Jesus had to be made like unto His brethren in all things. Now, how was Jesus made? Jesus was spirit, soul, and body. And there came a time when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? When He was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon Him. If He's made like unto His brethren in all things, then He had His own personal spirit. Just like we do. We have our own personal spirit, our own connection with God, a personal spirit. Okay? But also, we can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're born again, let me tell you what happens. You get a new personal spirit. And if you will obey that spirit, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is the omnipresent Spirit of God. That's the other comforter that you need to walk in this life. You don't have Jesus walking next to you in the flesh, answering your questions, telling you where to go and what to do. You understand that? You can't hear Jesus' voice very good. So what did God's plan for you entail? It entailed you receiving the Holy Spirit, the other comforter. Because that Holy Spirit can open your spiritual hearing, your spiritual sight. He can cause you to walk in a way that's not according to your mind. See? Anybody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they are at the mercy of their mind in following God. And you know, you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. Before you had the Holy Spirit, you were trying to figure God out, and your mind was ruling you. Okay? Let me prove some of this to you. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When you're born again, you do not necessarily receive the Holy Spirit. You can be born again and receive the Holy Spirit. But when you're born again, you get a new spirit. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we should accept. In Romans 8, he talks about two states of Christians. Romans 8 and verse 9 10, 11 But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ... Now you say, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Watch carefully. It is not the same thing. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, okay? But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Meaning, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Him at all. That doesn't mean you have the Holy Spirit, but you have to have a born-again spirit. You know what a born-again spirit is? It's the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to recreate Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does He start with? He starts with giving you Christ's Spirit. And then He wants to go on to giving you Christ's soul. And ultimately, you will have a body just like His body. Okay? You're born again. First spirit, then soul, and then body. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Now, what about you who are rejecting the Holy Spirit? What hope have you got to come into the image of Christ? None. got no hope of coming into the image of Christ. When I say the image of Christ, I'm talking about walking as He walked. I'm talking about the ministry that He had. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. These signs shall accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues." On and on. See? The Holy Spirit is the power of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power to take on the image of Jesus Christ. How can you walk in His steps without the Holy Spirit who empowered Him? Okay, read on here. I'm going to prove what I'm saying to you right here. Verse 10. "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Okay, so if you have the Spirit of Christ, your body is dead because of the power of sin over your body. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay? Verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now that's two states of being. If you've got the Spirit of Christ, your spirit's alive, your body's dead. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, your spirit's alive, and you've got life in your mortal body. You've got power in your mortal body. You know that power came out of Jesus and healed people? Power. Notice, He differentiates the person who has the Spirit of God and the person who has the Spirit of Jesus. Now, you can have the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God. That's God's plan. God's plan is for you to have a born-again spirit, and then that spirit to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then you can walk like Jesus walked. You know why? Because that's why the Holy Spirit comes, to give you power. Jesus said, He told those disciples, after He left now, when He was here on earth, Jesus gave the disciples authority to do what He did. He said, "Now you go lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. And you go cast out devils, and you do this, and you do that." He gave them authority. Now, when He left, who gave them authority? When He left, He told them, "Now you wait right here. Don't you do anything. Don't you go anywhere. You stay right here in Jerusalem until you receive this power. And then you go and you do." Why? Because the Holy Spirit now imparts that authority, that power, that wisdom, that discernment, see, that Jesus was giving them. We can't live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit comes and imparts Christ to us. First spirit, then soul, and then body. So you need a soul that's in the image of Jesus Christ. What is that? Mind, a will, emotions in the image of Jesus Christ. That doesn't come overnight. That's a process called sanctification. Of God manifesting the soul of Jesus in you. And like Keith pointed out earlier, the fullness of the adoption doesn't come until you get your born-again body. God is in the process of recreating Christ in you. First spirit, then as you obey spirit, soul, and then if you've obeyed soul and born fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold body. That's the full adoption is when you get your new body. Now, can we walk as sons of God down here like Jesus did? Of course. But full sonship, full son of Godship, sonship is when you receive spirit, soul, and body. This is a process. Okay? If you've been born again, then you have a spirit of Christ. You now have the power to walk after Christ. You have the ability to make a decision. Okay? Let me tell you what your first decision ought to be. Get baptized and get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible commands. Why would you say otherwise? If you accept religion, they might talk you out of this. But the Bible is plain that you're not going to have any power in your mortal body unless you receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus had such power in his mortal body that when people touched Him, power came out of Him and healed them. And Peter had such power in his mortal body that his shadow healed people. Think about that. Hey, you're going to see that. If you hang around long enough, you're going to see some of that. But you probably won't see it in some of the churches you've been in. I know I didn't see it in some of the churches I was in. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to prove to you that everybody doesn't have the Holy Spirit. This is very important. You need to be able to tell this to other people too, because a lot of them have been lied to. And they don't have any power. And they don't have any discernment. And they don't have this comforter going with them, giving them direction, giving them discernment. Listen, the Holy Spirit is going to guide people around some of the terrible pitfalls that are coming down the road, folks. In fact, the Holy Spirit is going to save people's lives because they hear His voice and they follow Him. You need the Holy Spirit. Before Israel went into the wilderness, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. That's talking about water baptism and spirit baptism. The cloud was the Shekinah glory that came down on the temple and led that temple through the wilderness. The tabernacle led through the wilderness. You know, when I was young and I went into that Pentecostal church and I was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, one time we were out on Louisiana State University campus, and they had a little outreach out there, and they would invite the college kids to come in there and pray. Well, I went out there to pray because I hadn't manifested any of the gifts yet. So I was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I saw the Shekinah glory come in there one day, fill the room, fill the house with that cloud of God. It was awesome. And people were in there praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that cloud came in and just filled the house. It was awesome. Well, look in Ezekiel 36. Verse 24. Here's the promise of the covenant. Of course, most of them rejected it. And God turned to the Gentiles. He said, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of the countries and will bring you into your own land." That's the promised land he's talking about. We have a promised land, and it is to live on the promises of God. And that's our promised land. "And I will sprinkle clean water upon you." That's the word of God. "And you shall be clean." Paul called it the washing of the water with the word in Ephesians. "And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you." Religion can't do that. Only the Word of God can do that. "A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Notice that. A new spirit. And they use a little S there. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because theologians can make mistakes, but they thought it was talking about your personal spirit, or they wouldn't have put a little S there. And it's the fact, is what he's saying, it's the truth here. Okay? "And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And, circle that, and I will put my spirit within you." That's two spirits. "And cause you to walk in my statutes." You know what? Nothing can cause you to walk in His statutes more than being filled with the Holy Spirit, because you shall receive power as the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And notice He says, "And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers." You know who our fathers are? Paul said, "You have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel." You know who our fathers are? Our church fathers. What they gave to us in the beginning, we're supposed to still have. You want to walk in the land that they walked in the power that they walked in? Receive the Holy Spirit like they received. If you get what they got, you'll do what they did. That's the whole point. People don't get what they got, but they think they can do what they did. Well, you can't do that. Notice, He'll give you a new spirit, and then He will put His Spirit, capital S, in you. See, you have to be born again. You have to have a born-again spirit before the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in that born-again spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit come and dwell in an unregenerate spirit? That receiving the Holy Spirit is not being born again. Getting a new spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is born again. Then you can receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? And all through the Bible, it tells us the same thing. Now, how many verses have we looked at already that prove what I'm saying here? See? All through the Bible, it tells us this. Matthew chapter 3, 15 and 16. Look at that. Matthew 3, 15. See, is everybody sealed with the Holy Spirit? No. It's a lot easier for people to go back without the Holy Spirit than with the Holy Spirit. I tell you in the name of Jesus, it's a lot harder to go back when you get the Holy Spirit. And Hebrews chapter 6 tells you that, basically. Look at this. 3 and 15. But Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered. And he's talking about being baptized. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus got baptized, and then he got filled with the Spirit of God. Why is God giving us this type here? Because, look, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You know, John said, look, Lord, how should I baptize you? You need to baptize me. Why was Jesus doing it? He wanted to fulfill a type. He wanted to be an example. You know what? In Hebrews chapter 2, it says he had to be made like unto his brethren in all things. Now, he had the Spirit of Christ. He got baptized, and he got baptized in the Spirit. He was our example. I mean, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He that saith he abideth in him ought to walk as he walked. What is he talking about? Well, that's part of it right there. Some people argue about whether they have to get baptized or not. Well, look, if you're worried about what you have to do, just forget about it. Go back into the world. Don't waste God's time. He wants the people that want to do what he says. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Get baptized. The Bible says to. The people that argue about whether they have to do it or not to be saved, those people just want their toe in the door, that's all. That might be the only part of them that get saved, too. Well, anyway, notice that Jesus gave us a clear example. A clear example. Let me show you some more of them. How about Acts chapter 4? I'm going to pick this one out. Because they got refilled with the Holy Spirit. You know, just because you get filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're still filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? They got refilled with the Holy Spirit. They prayed to God for power, and what did he send? The Holy Spirit. 27? 4:27? For of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants to speak thy word with boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And multitudes of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, so on and so forth. When they prayed to God for power and boldness, he sent the Holy Spirit, because that's what you need if you want the power of God and want to stand up in the face of the enemy. You need the Holy Spirit. Well, they'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus called it a river of living water. It flows out of the throne of God in your heart, and comes out of your mouth and through your hands. Power came out of Jesus and healed people. You see, it's a river. It has to be replenished. You know, you say, well, I know someone that speaks in tongues, and they're just as mean as they can be, you know. Well, you know what? The gifts and the callings of God are not repented of. But that doesn't mean they're still filled with the Holy Spirit. You can tell someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because you still speak in tongues, that don't mean you're still filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit came upon these people again, and they were empowered to once again stand up in front of the heathen and in front of the Jews that hated them and made war on them and gave a bold witness. And God confirmed that with signs and wonders. Yeah, Terry?
We have a question here about the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Jenny of Yeshua asks, I am seeking the Holy Spirit, then we all prayed in here in agreement for it. Since then, I have just stood in faith for it instead of seeking it. But I've had brethren who have it tell me not to just stand in faith, but to continue seeking it. So what should I do until I see it manifest? Stand in faith or continue to seek it?
Well, be it unto you according to your faith, Jenny, because the Lord does give us two ways of receiving. And He called one of them the prayer of importunity, and He called the other one the prayer of faith. And sometimes your faith, you feel like your faith is not strong enough, so you continue to pray to God until He puts faith in your heart. You know, He calls that the prayer of importunity. In Luke chapter 11, there was a way that they received the Holy Spirit. Look at that, Luke chapter 11. You know, when I went to that Pentecostal church, their method was the prayer of importunity. That's the only thing they prayed. They didn't know anything about the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is believing you have received. Jesus told us we can do that. And it will work. But you can't be double-minded. You have to hold fast to it. The other method is the prayer of importunity. And Luke 11. Verse 5. And He said unto them, which of you shall go to a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey.